ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Midos is dedicated anonymously in honor of Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Metz.
Maseches Midos, Daf Lamed Dalid. Maseches Midos is a Maseches that consists only of Mishnayos. There is no Gemara on Maseches Midos. It is nonetheless learnt in the Meskeret of the Daf HaYomi. And the Maseches consists entirely of a detailed description of the plans of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis HaSheni, the entire structure, everything in the Beis HaMikdash and the Har Bayis and the Beis HaMikdash complex, the different locations, rooms, and the purpose of all of these Mekoymos. There is some question as to what the reason is, why this has gone through, why there's a Masechtah dedicated to it at all, given the fact that it's really a question of history. The Bayis HaSheni, unfortunately, was Nechrav. We don't have any Bayis HaSheni anymore. And consequently, we have the question, why are we learning it, and what is the purpose of studying it at all? The Rambam writes in his Hakdama to the Perash HaMishnayos that the purpose of studying Masechta Midos is because Bez Hashem, we're all looking to the Beis HaMikdash, will be rebuilt, B'mehir V'yameinu, when we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And when that gets rebuilt, Yesh Lishmer V'la'asois HaTavnit HaHu, the Rambam says. In other words, that we're going to be thinking about and being careful to preserve the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. And how are you going to know how to build the Beis HaMikdash, says the Rambam? Are we going to know it by looking at how the Bayis HaSheni was built, so build the Bayis HaShlishi along those lines? The Rambam tells us the plans of the Beis HaMikdash are all laid out Beruach HaKodesh. He brings the pasuk in Devar HaYom, Hakol Beksov, Miod Hashem Olai Hiskil, that's what David HaMelech said. And the Beis HaMikdash, the plans are all up Beruach HaKodesh. We learn the Bayis HaSheni plans, and we learn how to build the Bayis HaShlishi. Kipshutoi, the Rambam seems to be mashma, that the structure of the Bayis HaSheni that we learned over here in Masechta Midos is identical to what the Bayis HaShlishi is going to look like, and therefore we study it in the Masechta Midos, what the Bayis HaSheni look like, and then we rebuild the Bayis HaShlishi. This is actually quite difficult and really impossible, and the Meforshim asked the Kasha, and we'll see a little bit on it to Mr. Hashem coming up in our discussion. The truth of the matter is that we have the plans of the Bayis HaMikdash HaShlishi. They're laid out in Sefer Yecheskel, near the end of the Sefer. We have the plans of Bayis HaShlishi, and it's quite sawsome, and there's different days in the Meforshim in many areas of the Psukim over there, but nonetheless, there's quite a few places where it's really Mukach, Lahedya, that the plans of the Shlishi, the Bayis HaShlishi, are different from those of the Bayis HaSheni. And the Rambam's Lashon is problematic, and we'll see that the Yavetz, Mr. Hashem, will go to it in a moment. The Rabbi Yankov Emden, the Lechem Shemaim, is masig on the Rambam, and there are others also that indicate that the plans of the Bayis HaSheni and the Shlishi are not the same. Evidently, we have to learn in the Rambam, he must have understood the Psukim in Yecheskel in such manner that at least there's a fundamental similarities in many areas between the Bayis HaSheni and the Shlishi. Although, as he could readily evidence from the Psukim, really quite a few very distinct and marked differences as well. The Bank of Emden, in the beginning of his Perish on Masechta Midos and his Lechem Shamayim commentary on the Mishnayos, is matmiya on the Rambam, and he differs from the Rambam entirely and raises important questions on the Shittas HaRambam. First of all, the Bank of Emden says that it's mavu in the Rambam that we're going to essentially be building the Bayis HaShlishi from scratch. We'll be building it on our own with our own hands. And consequently, we need to know what the floor plan is, what the structure, and how to build it. But the Bank of Emden says that that's not correct. He says, granted that the Pshuto Shem Mikra in Yecheskel is really mavur this way, in a fundamental Pasuk in Yecheskel, in the Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it's the Pasuk says over there that the Hashem told the Navi Yecheskel to tell them about the Bayis HaShlishi, give them the Nevuos about what the Bayis HaShlishi will look like, and the Yidden will contemplate the Asidus of the Bayis HaShlishi, Ve'im Nichlamu Mikol Asher Osu, says the Ebishter over there, if they're ashamed of their Averois. There's a long Pasuk I'm not going to go through at length, Tzuras HaBayis U'Tchonosem, Itzov Mavov, all the different elements, the entrances, the egresses, the different Tzurois of the rooms in the structure in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Eibishter says to Yecheskel, Hoida Oysam, tell Klal Yisrael about all these elements, Chsoiv Leinehem, write it up in the Sefer Yecheskel, the Yishmeru, and they'll keep hold in their hearts and in their minds of the Tzuras HaMikdash, as called Tzurasav, as called Chukosav, the Osu Oysam, in the end of the Pasuk, the Osu Oysam, and they will be Oysa, that means they'll build it. The Radak over there, in his commentary on Yecheskel, says exactly this thing. First of all, the Radak says over there that there is an indication, a remez in this Pasuk, the Tchias HaMeisim, look the Radak. The Radak says that, what is the Pshat in this Pasuk? Yecheskel is supposed to tell the people, they're supposed to think about the Tzuras HaBayis, the people Yecheskel is talking to, which is in the Golos of Golas Bovel. They left Eretz Yisrael for Bovel not too long before, and Nechassel giving them the nevuahs about the bias ha'osid, and they're supposed to hold on to in their minds. V'osu ois from the Radak understands those same people who the Cheskel is talking to, they're going to be building it. That's not true, Zokter Radak. And he says, how could it be to say that those people will rebuild? Zokter, it's true that a few decades later they built the Bayis Hasheini, but Zokter Harbei Dvorim, that's the Rosh and Radak, Harbei Dvorim, there's many things in these Sukkim that clearly were not built in the Bayis Hasheini and Sheini, in the Mishnah and Midos indicates they were built quite differently. Harbei Dvorim, many things. So it's impossible to say that this Sukkim in Yecheskel and Meskayim in the Bayis Hasheini, Zokter. It has to be in the Bayis Hasheini when Mashiach comes, and therefore it's Murchach that those same people are going to come back to life. Tchias HaMesim. It's a remez. They'll come back to life. It's Tchias HaMesim. Otherwise, had the people Yecheskel talking to who are thinking about the bias, how will they be for also Oysam? How they build it? Elamai has to be that there will be a Tchias HaMesim. The Radak is clearly not like the Rambam. And this is the Radak is Mufurk very, very clearly that the Bayis HaShlishi is quite different, Harbi Dvorim, very different from the Bayis HaSheni. And the Radak is out, without question, the Pshut HaShem Mikra, the Pashtus of the Pesukim in Yecheskel, many, many differences. But in this fundamental point, Zokti Yaivitz, in this fundamental point we do have in the Pesukim, and this the Radak is saying, and the Pashtus of Shat in the Pesukim is Mufur, that those people are going to be building the Bayis HaShlishi so that they'll be built by hand, by human hands. Ober Zokti Rabbi Yankov Emden, he says this cannot be. Yankov Emden brings down that Rashi and in Sukkah, which we'll get to Mitzvah Shem, both speak at Lehedi in the name of the Rejoshim, and the Rabbi Yankov Emden says this, Midroshim, a number of Midroshim that indicate this thing, that the Bayis HaShlishi will not be built by human hands, rather it's going to come down, Bonu U'mashuchol Min HaShemayim, which will be come down from Shemayim, perfected, already perfected. And Meila, Zokter Rabbi Yankov Emden, it's not going to be built by human hands, and we don't have to be studying how to build it, because it won't be built by us. And the Radak says, the Rabbi Yankov Emden says, we cannot learn Kipshuta, the Pasuk, V'osu Oysa, I mean, literally, people are going to make it. They won't. Zokter, it's like the luchois sheyordu min hashamayim v'nis gashmu b'oilom hatachto, and has an interesting lashon of the Radak. In other words, just like the luchois, which are fundamentally a ruchni, they're a ruchni is like a spiritual entity which the Ebrister gave down here on this world, and when they were handed down to the oilom hatachto, into our world, they were nis gashmu, they became coarsened and took on a physical form. Zokter, then the Radak, kainu beis hamikdash b'li sofek. In other words, the beis hamikdash shel maila in shamayim the Chazal speak of, and that beis hamikdash is already, so to speak, built up in Shemayim, but it's going to come down, la'osid lovoim, so that Beis HaMikdash is going to take on a gashmiistic, a physical form, and it's going to be bonayu meshuchlo, come down from heaven, and may, that's the reason why we'll never get destroyed, because it's masi yideh, because it's Baruch Hu, rather than masi yideh odom, not the handiwork of people, the handiwork of Hashem. And the Yaivit says, so therefore we cannot say what the Rambam says, that that's the purpose of learning midos, to know how to build, because we won't build. And he says, it's muvur in Rashi, Tosfos, and Sukkah, like we'll see. Kolshgein, Zokter Rabbi Yankov Emden, that even if the Rambam could have been correct that we're going to build it, what would you gain from studying with Sechta Midos, Zokter, that the Bayis HaBeis, the Bayis HaSheini, is only limited to the Bayis HaShlishi, Rak B'Dvorim Ma'atim. The Ivet says exact extreme opposite position from the Rambam, is Dvorim Ma'atim, only a small number of things in which the Bayis HaSheini is limited to the Bayis HaShlishi, which, by the way, is a lot more Kipshutoi, when you learn the Pesukim in Yecheskel, and you learn with the Meforshim over there, that's much, much more the impression that you get, like Rabbi Yankov Emden saying, that there's very little similarity. It's some fundamental similarity. Perhaps the impression he gives me in between the two shitos, that the Rabbi Yankov Emden says an extreme shita, the Bayis HaSheni has only a small number of similarities to the Bayis HaShlishi. So what is the purpose, the real purpose, in his opinion, of learning midos? Zochtav tender Radak, he says, just like we find, Chazal tell us that kol ha'oisek v'parshas a korban kilu hikiv korban. You're supposed to learn the Torah of the korbanos as if that you were makiv a korban. Today in Golos, you don't have korbanos, you learn the Torah of the korban. Zochtav, in exactly the same way, it's a mitzvah lastik b'teriyas habinyim to be oisik in the Torah of the binyan beis hamikdash, and it's keilu would be oisik in the binyan beis hamikdash but poil actively involved. We unfortunately right now we don't have ability, but you learn the Torah of the binyan beis hamikdash, and it's like we're actively involved. And then loy nasiach daiteinu mehagula. Another point that Rabbi Yankov Emden points out is that this way we're not going to nasiach das. You don't divert our attention from the geula. We should be thinking constantly, hoping for the geula ha'asida. You can learn the b'shnayis mesechta of midas about the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't divert our attention from the Geula Ha'asida. Also, the Yavit says, the Chosman, this he adds right away, Chosman She'oiskin, B'toyas ben yonoi, harei u'kilu nechra v'adayin oymed al mechoinoi, l'akiv bo. In other words, he says, as long as we're oisik in the Mishnayos and Midos and studying about the two of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a gewaldig, tremendous thing, as if the Beis HaMikdash is not even destroyed. The Midos was physically destroyed, but with in our minds and our hearts, and our Torah was still studying the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash, as if it's not nechrav, and it's still oymed al mechoinoi, it's still standing on its foundations, the mark of korbonos, zokt, and the adds, zokt, Reb Yankiv Emdin, Oisik belumet binyonoi boy nehu beemes bashamayim my lois of tzuriyos of haruchnius. As he's adding that a person who's oisik in the limit of the Beis Hamikdash is beemes building it in the Beis Hamikdash shal mylo up in shamayim. It's built. It's already being built. And the mensch that learns the Torah of the Beis Hamikdash is actively involved in being boyne that Beis Hamikdash shal mylo. Umeivi lahochus seis alapoil, and he causes that the gula asidu and the Beis Hamikdash shal osid, the building of the bayis shal osid, will be built more quickly as a result of the fact that we learn the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Kitzur Nimrutz, the Rabbi Yankiv Emden is saying that the reason we study Mishnayos Midos is not as a game plan or floor plan, tell us how we're going to be building the Beis HaMikdash, but rather in order that we hold it in our hearts, that we learn the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash, and durch them, that's considered the equivalent of a building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's something we can do in our minds and our hearts. Now, Be'emes, it's Mukhach to add something to explain this, Rabbi Yankiv Emden. There's a couple of points. I mean, first of all, he starts by saying that the Beis HaShe'ini, that it's described in the Masechta Midos, is comparable only in Dvorim Ma'atim, a very small number of things, to the Beis HaMikdash HaOsid. That's his point that he starts with. Only a small number. If so, if that's the case, it's not so easy to understand what Rabbi Yankiv Emden is mamshich to say, that somebody who learns the Mishnayos of Midos is like he's mamish involved in being the point of the Beis HaOsid. It's considered like he's already building it, etc., etc. Why is that? I mean, according to him, it's not the same Beis. This is the Beis HaShe'ini, and maybe you should be learning the Pesukim in Yecheskel, which would be taka a good idea. You learn the Pesukim in Yecheskel about the Beis HaOsid, and that's the equivalent of building the Beis HaOsid, because that's the plan of the Beis HaSidi that's going to be built for Osid Lovoi. So, Kimduma, that you really have to explain the Yavitz, that he's saying two things. He's explaining the Milo of learning Mishnayos Midos, which is the Beis HaMikdash that was, the Beis HaShe'ini that was, and he's explaining also that you should learn about the Beis HaOsid, which duchzuk that you learn in Yecheskel, because the Rabbi Yankiv really speaks these two things out. One point he makes is that somebody who learns the Mishnayos about the building, about the Beis HaMikdash, is kilu loy nechrav, and it's still around to Yimakav Kobonis. Over there he's being madgish, he's speaking of the Beis HaShe'ini. It says, like the Beis HaShe'ini is not destroyed, it never was destroyed, because we still hold on to it by learning the Torah of the Beis HaShe'ini. He also says something else, that somebody who learns the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash, he causes a hastening of the building of the Beis HaOsid, and he's causing it to be built upstairs in Shemayim already now, as you learn it. That's a reference to the Beis HaOsid. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden took the held of both things, and then a Hanami, a person should learn both things. You learn Masechta Midos, and you hold on, according to Rabbi Yankiv Emden, to the Torah of the Beis HaShe'ini, and learn about the Beis HaOsid in Yecheskel, and durch them, you have, and you with your Torah, with your Esek HaTorah, you're involved in the building of the Beis HaOsid. Now, I want to explain, and take it a moment on this point, I want to say over what the Goyin says in the Perish of the Vilna Goyin in the Yecheskel Perik Mem Gimel on the Pasuk we said before. It's important to recognize something about how the Beis HaShe'ini was constructed. Be'emes, on the face of it, it's not Nishta Fashtein. I mean, it's a very, very, very hard thing to understand. There's the Beis HaRishayin, the Beis HaMikdash HaRishayin is described as Pesukim in Sefer Melachim, that goes through the Beis HaRishayin. And of course, they also have a discussion in Divrei HaYomim that David HaMelech tells Shloim before David's passing that he has the Megillah. It's Chazal tell us about the Megillah, which was written al Pinavua, which had all the plans of the Beis HaRishayin, that it was given Pinavua, and it's described in the Sefer Melachim. We also have the Beis HaOsid, the Beis which is built for Osid Lovo, which the plans of that are described in Sefer Yecheskel. Lamaisa, as we said over from Kama Beforshim over here, from the Radak and from the Yankiv Emden, and it's also moving the Eilu, if you learn the Pesukim in Yecheskel, and you could see that the Beis HaShe'ini is somewhere in between the two. It's not exactly the Beis HaRishayin, it's not about the Beis HaShlishi either that much, it's in between the two of them. So where did this come from altogether that they had the Beis HaShe'ini and Mechtesi that they should build such a Beis, which really did not apparently have a special individual Nevuah to build in this manner? So I want to take it a moment on this. It's important to recognize the Yesoid here, and then we'll get into Mr. Shemetu, a discussion, a little bit of the Masechta here. Now, the Vilna Gaon says in his Perush on Yecheskel like this. I mentioned, started saying the Pasuk before, but I want to say over a bissel what it says in the Vilna Gaon in his Perush there. The Pasuk, Ve'imichlum Mimikol Asher Osu, that's the Pasuk we quoted from Yecheskel, Mem Gimel Yer Aleph, and it says over there, it says, Duchsach Naftoya Pasha Tetzaveh. So the Nichlum was, I believe, the second Pasuk of the Haftoya there. It says, Ve'imichlum Mimikol Asher Osu, if the Yidin will be embarrassed of all of their Aveirois, the Vilna Gaon says, Avoinois Shebeshvil Ze'ein Lehem Bayis. In other words, they should be ashamed. They'll hear you describing about the Beis HaMikdash. Why don't you have a Beis HaMikdash now? So they'll be ashamed of the Averis that they did. So the Pasuk is Mamashach over there, Tzura HaBayis HaSchunosoi, the Tzura of the Bayis, the plans, etc., etc., Zok the Goin, which means HaBayis HaRishon. In other words, that they should be learning about the Bayis HaRishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, which was built on the Shloime HaMelech, which is described in Sefer Melachim. Also, Azoi Vaiter, Zok the Goin, Uschunosoi, the plans, Zot the Beis HaMikdash, Shal HaBayis HaNizka Le'el, which is to say they should learn the plans of the Bayis in Yecheskel, of the Bayis HaOsid, Veiz Kol Chukoisov, and all of the laws and the rules, Peirish Zot the Goin, Me HaBayis HaZah Ashani Mar Lecha, of this Bayis that we're involved right now in building this Beis HaMikdash, in describing this Beis HaMikdash in Sefer Yecheskel. So the Pasuk says, Hoida Oisom, which means Zot the Goin, tell that to Yidin Lebnei Yisroel, Ve'osu Oisom, some, plural, not also a soy, but also a sum. So the goyim, also a sum means shnei hamikdashim. They'll make a building which will be a mein of the two batei mikdashim. The hainu zokta to the bayis hasheni is nasa mitoy shneihem. The bayis hasheni is made by studying and learning be'ion. You have to have tfashteit zecharuach hakodesh as well, but you learn the bayis harishon, you learn the bayis hashlishin, and the bayis hasheni was a mein of the bayis harishon and of the bayis shalo'osa. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So the Vilna Gaon understands that there's some rumors in the psukim over here, the way he teaches it, that the bayis hasheni was given to Chazal, to Anshei Sagdoila, and to the Ezra and his people, when they were building the Bayis HaSheni, they were given a koyach, b'stam al piruach, a koydish v'shteitzuch, to learn the psukim of Bayis HaRishon, a melachim, the Bayis HaShlishi in Yecheskel, and to build a Bayis which is the end of the two, and that is the Bayis HaSheni that's described over here in Masech Demidus, and the Goin fateiches that directly into the pasuk over there. I'd like to take a mamish a moment on this point to get into something which really requires a bigger richus, but it's important to just get into it very, very briefly over here. The Malbim at the beginning of Chagai has a big arichos on this. It's kedai to see it. I'm just going to go very, very bekitzer on this point. The Malbim at the beginning of Chagai explains, Chagai is the beginnings of the inspiration, the hisoiris to build the Bayis HaSheni. They must have sent strong nevuos over there through Chagai that the Yidden should get involved in building the Bayis HaSheni. And the Malbim explains at length over there that the emes is, there's a lot of smuchim lekach, and he brings a raya from the Gemara to this thing, the way he understands the Gemara brachas. Different rayas the Malbim brings, that really, when the Yidden came back after Golus Bavel, after 70 years, it was supposed to go directly into the Bayis HaShlishi. It was supposed to be directly to Bayis HaOsid, which is really muchach in many, many places in Tanakh and in the Pesukim. Yecheskel was a Novi, Vishas the Golas Bovel. He's being Menavi to them, the next Bayis HaMikdash, which is the Bayis HaOsid. That's the Bayis in Yecheskel, which is Menavi. And that should have been the Bayis that Klal Yisrael should have been Zoicha to build. After 70 years of Golas, he come back and you build it. The Malbim explains by Richos over there that Klal Yisrael did not, so to speak, rise to the occasion. They didn't have the proper Soyrus or Ruchnius. They did not come up with Shlemus. Many, many Yidden did not even bother coming up at all. They stayed in Bovel. The Hesoiris was very, very ogeshvacht. It was very weakened and very weak. And the Mele, as a result of this, the Yidden were not zoiche to have the Shkulo HaSido and the Shlemus of the world of the Asid Lova and the Moshe Mashiach, and to have the Bayis of the Novi Yecheskel. And the Mele, we had to end up having that the whole time of the Bayis HaSheni is a Mayan, like a microcosm of the Asid Lova, and nothing more than that. And this is the inyo of the Bayis HaSheni, and the Bayis HaSheni wasn't zoiche to be Yen Bayis that was eventually destined to be built, which it should have been, but rather it was built, like the Goin is telling us, with a Me'en of the Bayis HaShlishi as well as a Me'en of the Bayis HaRishon. This is a special koyach that the Ebishter gave to Klal Yisrael to build a Bayis in this manner. The details are not described anywhere in the Nach, in the Vim Ksuvim, and they're described over here instead in Mishnayos, in Masechta Midos. As he mentioned, Rashi and Tosfos and Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph and the Bits of the Devolver, they also hold this way. And they all hold, based on Midrashim, that the Bayis HaShlishi is going to come down ready built from La'osid Lovoy. The Rashi over there is, we're not going to say the whole sugya, just Bekitz and Nimritz. The Gemara has a whole discussion over there about the concern that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. The Gemara discusses the pasuk questions about when exactly the Bayis HaOsed is going to be built. The Gemara discusses it could maybe be built on Pesach. The Gemara says it maybe it's going to come on the 15th of Nisan, maybe at nighttime, maybe during the daytime, a whole discussion there. So Rashi over there asks two questions on the Gemara. First of all, why does the Gemara consider that the Bayis HaMikdash may be built by night? As a fact, Rashi, we find that the mitzvah of Bini Bayis HaMikdash is only by day. Uvayoyim hokam es HaMishkan, Chazal say. Uvayoyim hokam, the pasuk says, that means that Bini Bayis HaMikdash is only by day and not by night. So why does the Gemara speak of the idea of the Bayis HaOsed being Ivni, being built at night? As well, says Rashi, it's also Shver, why does the Gemara discuss the idea of being built on the 15th of Nisan, which is Yontif, and the Chazal tell us that Ein Bini Bayis HaMikdash doiche Shabbos or Yontif. The Bayis HaMikdash is not doiche Shabbos or Yontif. So Bazoi, Zok Rashi, how do you have these suggestions in the Gemara? And fit Rashi on both caches that these rules, that which is built in the hands of people, you have the rules about when you could build it. You build it on by day and not by night. You build it by weekday and not by the Shabbos or by the Yontif. Avol mikdash ha'osid shonu metzapen. The bayis ha'osid, the osid lovoi bayis ha'mikdash that we're hoping for. Bonu meshuchul yigol of yovim ha'shamayim. It's going to be perfected and come down perfect already from Shemayim. And the Rashi quotes, mikdash Hashem koinenu yodecho, the bayis ha'mikdash la'osid which is fashioned by Hashem's own hands. Toises and the Ritzvah, they are masking to Rashi as well, and they both say the same yesod, that the bayis ha'osid, you don't have to worry about building on night or the day of Yontif because of the fact that it's coming min Hashemayim and they're built directly from heaven. And this is the Rashi and Toises that Kama Achreinim bring down, that the Choylik on the Rambam here and Rashi and Toises hold that we're not going to be building the bayis ha'osid. The Aruch HaNeir has an Arichos over there, interestingly and quite remarkably. He doesn't bring the Rambam, but he's masik on his own. He disagrees on his own on Rashi and Toises and the Ritzvah, which is a pretty amazing thing. The Heat Tainas on all of them, they says that they're saying that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down, built min HaShemayim. He says he thinks, if anything, the Gemara is mashma otherwise, and his Raya is against that. Interesting, he brings the Gemara in Sukkot Daf Nun Beis, based on a Sosam Dikir passage in Sefer Zecharia. It says, Vayareini Hashem Arbo Choroshim. It's, so to speak, they showed the Novi Zecharia four carpenters. So the Gemara says, it's a vision, a difficult Mar Nevuah. What are the four carpenters? The Gemara says, Dalat Choroshim, it's Mashiach Men Dov, Mashiach Men Yosef, etc., etc. The Gemara goes through all of them, but there's Mashiach Men Dov and Mashiach Men Yosef amongst them. So why are they called the carpenters? So Rashi says over there that the two Mashiachim, the Mashiach, they're called carpenters, Rashi says, craftsmen for the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash. It seems from Rashi they'll supervise the Bini, the Beis HaMikdash, so they're called craftsmen. It's zokt of them, the Oral Chaner, you see right away that the Beis HaMikdash also is going to be built by human hands and not by a Shemayim. The Kanash is going to come directly down on a Shemayim. So the kid said there's an Arichos there in the Oral Chaner, but interestingly, as we said, he's Mechavan to the Rambam Shitta in the Perish Meshnayis. The Rambam actually does hold against Rashi and Tosis, and the Rambam Shitta is that the Beis HaMikdash also is in fact going to be built by human hands. The Tiferes Yisrael over here, it has a vort in the beginning of the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnayos here, in the Yochanan Boyas, in the beginning of the Mesechta. The Mesechta opens, B'shloishim Mekoimis, HaKoyenim, Shoimim, B'Beis HaMikdash, etc. There's three places that the Koyenim are watching over, the Shoimim, the Beis HaMikdash, all the other Mekoimis, Levium watch over, and these three places the Koyenim. This is actually the same way the Mesechta Tomid begins, and what's particularly odd about it, as the Tiferes Yisrael points out, is that we ought not to expect to have any of this in Mesechta Midois, since Midois is not about what happened, it's not about who watched, and it's not about what human beings did. It's really about the floor plans. It's about what was found and which rooms and which structures and which purpose of each thing. So why are we discussing the Shmir of the Beis HaMikdash and the fact that the places where the Shomim, the Kohenim was Shomer, etc.? So he says that's a remez. The Tiferes Yisrael says a remez that the whole Tachlis, the purpose of a Sechtem Bidois, is that it will be Shomer in the Beis HaMikdash, the Tzur of the Beis HaMikdash in our hearts, which is a thing that every year has to do, and it's really a Pasuk. As we mentioned before, the Yishmeru Oysam, like I said before, the Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, David is actually mitzvahos, mamash tzivui. They have to be shomer the Beis HaMikdash in your hearts. You see, this is a specific thing that you mekayim by learning Masechta Midos. And the Tiferes Yisrael says, other like the Shittas HaRambam Zokter, that we're actually going to be, we have to watch over it to know it, so we can know how to build it biyadayim by hand la'osud lavoi. Other says, even you go Rashi and Tosis, what they're going with, that they say it's going to be built la'osud lavoi manashamayim Zokter. Afilu according to Rashi and Tosis, it's absolutely clear that the mitzvah to be shomer the tzur of the Beis HaMikdash in our hearts. He says, when the Beis HaMikdash gets rebuilt, we'll see how the building is going to look just like the Novi had told them thousands of years before. They'll see, in other words, right now the Pesukim are very, very sonsome. We have the Mishnayos to help us out a bit. But La'asad Lava, when it gets built, we'll see with absolute clarity how all the Pesukim is Kayim. The Akiru al Yedei Zeh says that very Sisrael, Ki Ruach Hashem Diber, boy, they'll see that we'll see Ba'alil, that the Novi Yecheskel said every word, B'dvar Hashem with the Mar Nevuah, they'll see how clearly, how perfect everything is, how clearly, how perfectly it's fulfilled La'asad Lava. And Zokte, that's why La'asad Lava, when that happens, if that's an additional fulfillment of Yikolmu Me'avoinoi Sehem. In other words, that the Pasuk says, Hashem told Yechezkel that David to tell the Klal Yisrael about the Beis HaMikdash, Yikolmu Me'avoinoi Sehem, that they'll be embarrassed of their affairs, V'nichlmu, they get embarrassed, and then there'll be Zoyecha Tzurath Abayas, etc., etc. So he tain is that this is actually fulfilled L'Osad Lovoi, it's a final fulfillment of L'Osad Lovoi, the Yidden will see, because they'll see how that the Novi Yechezkel was saying, Shklor Diburim from the Ebesh, the perfect words of prophecy of Nevuah from Hashem, with the Yidden could have seized onto, and they could have been zeicha to do a tshuva shleima with that goal, with that looking ahead, that hoped for, that mabat on the bayas ha'osid, and they forsook that and didn't bother doing that at that time, so they're not going to be fashemed of that, they'll be embarrassed for osid lovoi, and they'll be zeicha to come durch them to do a tshuva la osid lovoi. The Pharisee Hill concludes by saying that a Yid has to hold before him, in his mind's eye, the Tzura of the Bias, and Zokte, he says, he feels that that's Merumas in the Psukim in Yeshaya, Al Chemesayich Yerushalayim, on your walls Yerushalayim, Hefkatati Shoimim, I appointed watchmen, Kol Hayoim V'chol HaLaila, Tomed Lo Yechashu, they're not silent by, not by the whole Yoim, and not by the whole Laila. He says, he feels that Merumas in the Pasuk over there, Kol Hayoim is Beshas when there is a Beis HaMikdash, and Kol HaLaila, but the night time is Beshas when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Of a Zokte, regardless, Kol Hayoyim, regardless when there is and when there is not a Beis HaMikdash, Kol HaLaila, even when it's B'Shas, when it's Nechra Ba'avoy Neseinu, Zokta the Pharisee Scroll, even when it's destroyed through our Averis, Tomad Lo Yechashu, we never should stop learning about it, never should stop talking and thinking about it, and Ruch then will be Zoyechash, Yibon HaBemheir of Yameinu, that will be built in our days. The Tshuva's Beis Ephraim in the Siman Yud was asked by a Shoyl, that somebody asked him that why did the Rambam and the others have to matter sich so much to try to figure out what would be the reason why Masechta Midos was written. The Shoyl wanted a taina that it's Mamash Negel, Halacha L'Maisa. Why? Because he says that the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zorah and other places that it's Osur to Yiboina, Bias Tavnis, Bias, Midos, Hechol Tavnis, Hechol, etc. You know, you're not allowed to build structures and rooms in the exact dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash. That's an Isur. And the therefore, you have to know what the structure and the makeshah of the Beis HaMikdash and the rooms are, and the heichal is, and etc., in order to know what you can't build. So you have to know what the dimensions are, otherwise you'll never know what is osa to build. That was the shoyl asked the Beis Ephraim. Beis Ephraim goes through a little bit of an arichus, but I'm just going to say over the tamsus of a teret, he has an interesting answer. He has a dig in the toisus, the Beis Ephraim, which he wants to tie into that it's mashman toisus, that the iser of bias tavnis bias and heichal tavnis heichal is doesn't involve all the pitchifkis and every single little dimension, every nuance of the details of the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos is mashma, it's just the midas orkoi and the midas rochboi, just the length and the width, and he says that's of the heichol structure, the Kodesh Kodshim, the Heichol, that's what it's negated to. And Zokter, it's mashma, and Tosfos says that the height, the question of height is not, does not go awry into the determination of whether it's also a mutter. If I build a room or I have a building, the same structure of the heichol, the Beis HaMikdash, and I'll have a different height, you'll still be a violation of the Isser, because height doesn't go awry into it. And he says, Be'emes is, Zokta, the Beis Ephraim, that actually makes sense in his opinion. It's Meduyik and Tosfos, and it actually makes sense, because he says, you see that the height of the Bayis HaSheni is different from the height of the Bayis HaRishon. The basic dimension of the heichol, the Kodesh Kodshim, the structure of the building were the same. But as far as the height of the building, the Chazal tell us, right, the Gemara says, and it's Mavu in the Psukim like this, that the Bayis, and the Mishnah is over here, right, that the Bayis HaRishon was only 30 Amos high, and the Bayis HaSheni was 100 Amos high, there was a different height. So he says, that's Gufa because of the Beis Ephraim, that's because the height is not Ma'akav, it's not Le'ikuvah, and it's not integral, so you could have different the details of the height and different Bote Mikdashes, because they're the same things, Zok, that he wants to tie in, that the Toyim and the other structures, the Lishkois, the different structures of the Mikdash complex, and the Beis HaMikdash, surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, those chambers also don't go right into the discussion, determination of bias, tavnis, bias, and heichol, tavnis, heichol. And whether you do or don't include those toim, he says, they're not ma'akav in the mitzvah, bini beis hamikdash, they're not integral to the mitzvah. And also, therefore, they would not go right, they would not go into the determination whether you're in violation of the isser of bias, building a bias, tavnis, bias. And meila zog doch, durch them, zog the beis Ephraim, says, that's the pshat. He says, because be'emes is, if all you need to know is the basic dimensions of the number of amos, the length and width of the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodshim and the total structure of the building that you could get out of the Navi Yecheskel Zokter. That's in the Pesukim. In our Mishnah, there are many, many, many details that are not in the Navi Yecheskel, but those details, the details of height and the different chambers and structures, which are Nama Akam and the Bina Bayis anyway, so Meili says that wouldn't justify it. To tell me that you have the Mishnayos Midos with detailed out, with all these Pesukim of detail, in order to tell me what's the violation of Bayis Tavnes Bayis, Heichal Tavnes Heichal, that's not true, it's just not correct, because the bias on this bias, the issue to build a house or a room and the structure of the base of Migdash, or the dimension of the base of Migdash, that just basic length and width of Heichal and Kodesh Kodshim, which that I could get straight out of the Navi Yecheskel, I don't even need to learn Masechta Midos for that purpose. The Mishnah tells us in Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, and this is something which we learned about in Masechta Talmud as well. So it says the Ishar Habayis, that was the person who was in charge of all the shomer of the Har Habayis, he was Mechazer al Kol Mishmoru Mishmor. So he would go around during the nighttime checking at the different Mishmorois, the different sentries, so to speak, that stood guard to be shomer the Beis Hamikdash. And he had Avukos, there was torches before him, and any Mishmor, any sentry or any shomer that does not stand before him, She'eni Oymid, said the Ishar Habayis would say to him, Shalom Alecha. So he would greet him, and if the person doesn't greet him back and it's nikkur that the Shomer was sleeping on the job, nikkur shehu yashen, so he would beat him with a stick, chayv to b'makloi, and he also had, it was his discretion, he had the right, reshus ha'eloim, lisroif es ksusoim, so they would, he had the right to burn his garment as well, lisroif es ksusoim, and people would say, what's the voice, if a person with the Shomer would cry out, what's the voice that we're hearing crying out, he would say that that's koil ben levi loike, ubegodov nisrofim, that's the sound of a Ben Levi who's getting clapped, who's getting hit, and his garment's being burnt, because he was asleep on the job, asleep on his mishmar. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, on this we have a couple of nekudas. First of all, a very basic nekuda from the Sefer Teferes Yisroel. So he says he feels that the Loshen Lisref is ksusoy is a question of his outer garments. They would not burn all of his garments entirely and leave him the gambi without clothing. They would burn his outer clothing. And he says, actually, there's a concept there, as the Teferes Yisroel, because probably he would roll up his outer clothing and he would roll it up as a pillow to put it under his head and sleep on, so it was used in the purpose of the sleeping. That was the garment that they would burn. And the Teferis Yisrael adds to that, Mestamalahi Nicholai Lamid Orum. It's not Mestava, they left him without any clothing at all. So therefore, it fits very well with this notion of Lisref Esksusai. It's glad that this Sefer is Eskoyanim, which is an important Sefer, running parish on the entire Masechta Midos. And Eskoyanim writes on that fits well into the Lashon of Lisref Esksusai. In other words, it doesn't say Lisref Bigdoi, but rather Lisref Esksusai. Ksusai is the more choshiva, distinguished type of a coat or an outer garment that the person wears. So that fits well into this idea of burning the ksusai. Now, this, it leads us, and the as this koinim gets into this point, leads us into a discussion of the Peirsh HaRosh right over here. The Rosh rather says a word over here, which he says over here in Masechta Midos, and the Rosh said exactly the same word also as well earlier in Masechta Tomid. So the Rosh says in both places, Zok the Rosh ve'ein kamishum bal tashchis, as the Rosh asked the Kasha, that L'chayra is bal tashchis Zok there. Bal tashchis. You're not allowed to destroy garments. It's a shabbat. The shayin, the rice of the rabbanim, but it's also to destroy. It's an emphat rosh. It's not malo baltashchis because of hefke bezin hefke. So since bezin has the koyach to mafkir, bezin has the koyach to declare a person's property ownerless. So in Mela, therefore, Bezin could declare it ownerless, and in Mela, they'll be able to burn it, and there's no violation of Baltashchis. That's what the Rosh says, both over here, as well. He says the same thing in the Sechta Tomid, in his Perish on Tomid, on the Afchof Ches. Now, there's Eskoyanim writes, and there's Eskoyanim's point that he points out about this Rosh, is discussed in Kama Achroinim. He makes two points about this Rosh. He says, first of all, what the Rosh says is very, very difficult to make sense out of, and second of all, the whole Kasha is not really Shver. And these two points are discussed by the Dvar of Rom, as we'll see, and also in other Achroinim as well. As first of all, as far as what the Rosh says, Mechtesi, who says that there's a heter, just because Bezin has the ability to hefke Bezin hefke, which means they could declare somebody's property ownerless, they could transfer the, according to some Achrayim, could transfer the ownership of the property from you to somebody else, so Bezin has a koyach over the mumness. But does that necessarily mean Bezin's allowed to destroy things? Who says that's a heter? Mechtesi, that's mutter altogether. They could transfer ownership, they could declare your property ownerless, but they have to leave it intact, the item. Verzogt, who says that they have the right to destroy? The whole thing, it doesn't really make sense. Just because hefke Bezin says in his Hefker, why is that matter about Tashkis? Secondly, he says, as his Kleinim, and this question is also discussed in a number of Achroinim, that the whole Rosh's Kasha doesn't start. Because what's the Rosh's Kasha? You should hear from about Tashkis. But there are Rayas, Zokta, as his Kleinim, and other Achroinim, that any time a person does a destructive act, even if it's a destructive act, but it's done for a purpose, then it becomes Mutter. And this is a Mevor in many, the word, many poets can speak this thing out. About Tashkis doesn't apply when something is being done for a purpose. Mesech the Shabbos of Kufhei, which is an important Gemara discussed in a number of Achroinim, that they speak out that it seems from the Gemara over there, according to the Pashtas of reading the Gemara, they allowed to rip garments so you could actually break Kalim, the Gemara indicates, for the purpose of Lemirmi Amosa, and she basically, you want to instill awe, you feel it's important for you as the head of the household to instill awe over the Inshi Beis, over the people of the household, you allowed to break Kalim for that purpose, you destroy Kalim, so I is destructive, it's Litzairich, it's for a purpose, and consequently, same thing ought to apply over here, it's destructive, but you want to put the fear of the Ishar Abayas and of the Almighty into the other Shomrim. They shouldn't fall asleep on the job. So mainly, it burned his garment. It's for its Tzairich. So say the Rosh's Teretz doesn't really work out as far as we could tell. And say the Rosh's whole shtel is a Pella, because what was the question for Valtashchis when it is Litzairich? These are the two questions. Now, these two questions are both left with Tzorochim by the Sefer Ezes Kleinim over here, but in the Dvar of Rom in Chelik Aleph, Simen Tezayin asked both of these two kashas, and in both he put the two kashas together, and he has a Hatzor, a suggestion, to solve both problems in one fell swoop by changing the Girtha in the Rosh. Instead of the Rosh saying, Ve'ein kan mishum bal tashchis, the Rosh should have said, Ve'ein kan mishum loy sigzoil. Now, the Rosh did not mean to ask him bal tashchis, because bal tashchis is not even shver, because it's a tzorich, it's for a purpose, and constructive purpose, you got to instill the fear into these people, the shaymim. So meilo, it's mutar al patashkes. It's not a hashkosa. It's purposeful. Aye, the Rosh is asking something else, but it's like sigzoil. How do you have the right to take somebody's garment and burn it? What's he had to do there? The answer to that kashi is mishum hefke bezin hefker, and everything works out very well. Zot the dvar from one hago, and everything works. It's hefke bezin hefker, and not only sigzoil, because bezin declared that the Yeshua bias at his discretion should be able to take the garment of the shaymer who's sleeping and burn it at his discretion, since the hefker is hefker. That's now, obviously, if you make this hagor, everything works out very well. A number of achronim discuss it and don't make the hagor. It does not appear that the achronim got too much on the bandwagon. And I want to add on my own something which I didn't see anybody point out, which is that the Rosh says this thing in two different places. It's not once, it's twice. The Rosh says it over here in Masechet Midos, and he says the same exact thing in Tomid, in his parish on Tomid and the Chof Ches. In both places, he asks exactly the same question and gives exactly the same answer. So he asks the question, I is literally Bel Tashkes, and the answer is Hefke Bezen Hefke. It's the same thing in two places, so it's very difficult, I think, to suggest that there's exactly the same mistake crept in both places. This is a difficult hagor to make, but that is the Zvar Avraham suggestion. Zvar Avraham over there goes on to explain, he says that one of the rabbonim of his acquaintance wrote to him, Rav Avraham Meir Ashkenazi, wrote to him that he's surprised that the Zvar Avraham was bothered by all this, and the truth is it does make a lot of sense. Why? Because the Rav Avraham Meir Ashkenazi wanted a taina that even though Chazal is a loshoin of Hefker Bezin Hefker, it's really much broader than that, and it really the concept that Chazal is speaking of is that the Torah gives the Bezdin the right over your property to do what it takes for a purposeful need that Bezdin, a communal need that Bezdin has, or they could confiscate your property, they could mafkir it, or they could destroy it. All of that goes around is included in Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and the Lashon Hefker is not intended as an all-inclusive expression. So, Rav Avraham Meir Ashkenazi said, first of all, Chazal say that the idea, the din of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, is learned out of the pasuk in Ezra, Yochram Kol Rechushai. Right, that's the Lashon HaPasuk over there. Yochram Kol Rechushai, the pasuk in Devarayomim, in Ezra, and it says over there that if anybody who doesn't come to the big gathering you're making in 3 days, according to the Thorim and the Zakenim, the declaration of the Zakenim, Yochram Kol Rechushai. So Yochram, that the Gemara learns out of the Hefke Bezen Hefke in Yuvamis. So you see, Zokt, the Rav Ashkenazi, Yochram, it doesn't just mean Yufkar. If they want, they can make it Hefke, but if they want, they can destroy it. All goes around into the concept of Cherem, which is destructiveness implied by the word Yochram. And therefore, Bezin could destroy. Moreover, the Rav Ashkenazi tainted that the language of the Rambam is really clearly mashma this way. In Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Chav Dalet, the Rambam says that Yesh L'dayin L'hafkir Momen Sheyesh L'baylam. A dayin even has the ability mafkir Momen that's owned by somebody, the declared ownerless, Uma Abed, and you could even destroy it. V'noisin will give it over to someone. Give him a Sheyirdia Yireh Ligdoy Pirtzais Hadas L'Chadik Habedek, etc. In other words, according to shore up the breaches in the observance relevance of Yiddishkeit, or lechazek abedek to mend the cracks in the observance of Yiddishkeit in the Torah mitzvahs. So the Rambam says over in the end, what does Rambam say? That the dayan could be mafkir or ma'abed. What does ma'abed mean? The Rav Ashkenazi said ma'abed is mashma he could destroy. And the Rambam ends the shtickle over there by saying at the end of the halacha in Perek of Talachas and Edrin, the Rambam said vaharehu oimer be'ezra. It says in Sefer Ezra v'chol shaloyov is loy shaloyov matzazav is kainim yochram kol lechushay. So the Rambam mikan shehefke bez and hefke. So you see, zokti Rav Ashkenazi, that the Rambam included in the rights of hefke bez and hefke. The Rambam mentions that you could the dayan could be mafkir somebody's money. He said noisin he can give it over. The Rambam says ma'abed he could destroy. So you see, ba'alil, that I'm right, zokter. He says the Rosh is actually very meduyik, and there's absolutely no need to make any hagol whatsoever. The Rosh is correct that the question about tashchis can be remedied by saying that we're utilizing the kerech of bezin of hefker bezin hefker, which is beyond hefker. They can be mafker somebody's property, but if they want to go beyond that, they could do that too as needed, and they could destroy the property as well. All of that is the line in the kerech of hefker bezin hefker. The Dvar Avraham responds at length to this Rav Ashkenazi, and he says he believes that this Dik that you're making is einoy nochoin. He says that's not a correct dik. It's incorrect. Says even though he's maskim that it's mavu and rambam that the bezin has the ability to destroy property as needed according to instill fear into people or whatever the reason is, he says avada they could destroy, but it's not because there's some kind of special heter in baltashchis. The bezin doesn't have to worry about baltashchis because they could actually destroy. That's not what it is. Zokter, it's the heter is like I explained earlier, zokter the varavon based on the gemara and Shabbos. The concept is the monashuch if bezin is getting involved and utilizing their koichos, that means there was a need to get involved, a religious need, a communal need for the mitzvahs of the people. And once there's a need for it, it's tzoyrech, and it's not baltashchus, like the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Kofei, that if there is a tzoyrech to do a destructive act, it's mutter, and it's not called a hashchasa. It's not called destructive, because it's needed. So the Melech, that's Shandar Rambam, Zokter, it's not a problem whatsoever. At Tavada, you could, Barayan could destroy, but that's only because once he has the ability to utilize his hefke bezin abilities, and it's needed, and it's a communal need, and mail it isn't called a hashchasa, a wanton destruction, because it's a tzorech, and it's something which it's needed to be done. So he disagrees totally with the notion of the Rav Ashkenazi, who said that the koyach of hefker bezin hefker itself gives bezin the ability to do a destructive act. However, the truth is, I want to mention that the simple lashon Rambam is really mashma like Rav Ashkenazi, and that's the truth. And the Rambam starts out by saying that the dayan could be mafkir, he can ma'abed, etc. But at the end of the halacha with that list of things and mafkir and ma'abed and giving over, the Rambam says harei oyne be'ezra v'cholah shelo yovo etc. yochem kol rechushay. So to say that the Rambam meant ma'abed because of some totally side reason, because now it's for tzayrech and etc. is not poshit. The simplest reading of the Rambam is actually mashma that the Rambam understood. In fact, that hefker bezin hefker gives a dayan an ability to destroy. A bezin could destroy gufa because of this koyach of the hefker bezin hefker. That Avram does concede at the end of the piece over there that this that he tightened on the Rosh, that how could the Rosh possibly even ask such a question from Baltashchus? What's the Baltashchus? It's a tzayrich, and one says a tzayrich is purposeful, and therefore it's needed, then it has a, and therefore it's no es a Baltashchus. It's not even called a hashchasa because it's not a wanton, purposeless destruction. He says at the end of the shtickel, he concedes that not everybody holds this way. And in fact, Zokter, the Mashal in Shabbos Kofei over there in the Sugya, Mashal actually learns up that they had to break Kalim, to destroy Kalim for the purpose of, instilling fear, that's talking about a case of the kelim already broken and that weren't really useful in the first place. So you break kelim shvurim and you instill fear into them, but it's not meduyik in the mashal that if it would be a true useful keli, a keli shalom which isn't broken, you wouldn't be allowed to destroy it for that purpose of instilling fear. And the Dvar Avraham says the smak actually goes up with halacha. Smak, one of the rishonim and the poiskim in Siman Kufay, and hey, the smak actually says this thing that they had to destroy based on that gemara is only destroy a destroyed thing which is already broken, but you can't destroy a whole thing. So as it comes out, in other words, according to that there actually is a shita in Rishonim and Achronim that understands that even if a destructive act is done for a tayelis, if it's destructive, it's destructive. The fact that I'm getting some tayelis out of it, I'm instilling fear into the Bnei Mishpacha, or in this particular case at hand, I'm instilling fear into the other Shomrim, that way they won't sleep on the job, so it's important to get a purpose out of it. Nonetheless, Minei Ubei, inherent in the act of destruction, the object, it's a destruction clapi the object. The object relative to the object is being destroyed, although I'm getting some ancillary benefit out of it. And in Meila, you do have Mar Mekoymes, there are those that hold that's taka not mutrels batashkes, and the Rosh could stim. You learn the Rosh kipshutai. The Rosh is asking that kasha, and it bothers him. Why don't you say that this is also batashkes to burn the garment of the shomer? He has to say a teretz, like we said.
But otherwise it will be schwer, because even though there's a purposefulness in the act, it's still inherently an act of destroying. And I just mentioned that the Truas Lahiris Nosan actually learns this Rosh Kepshuto. In other words, he said that the teretz of the Rosh, that the Rosh says not Baltashas, is because Hefker better than Hefker. So he says that there are Poiskim, there are those that appear to indicate, although it's a very big chiddush and many don't go like this, but there are Poiskim that indicate that if an object is Hefker, there's no issue to destroy it. If it's owned by someone, I guess the concept is if it's owned by someone, then it's only made for use. It's owned by no one, the Mechtesi, it even has a use. It's useful, it theoretically has a use, but there's not standing for any use because nobody owns it. So there's no owner. So if it has a use, that's where there's an Issa Batashka. The Rosh is saying, Hefker Bezen Hefker, Hebezen declared it Hefker, and once it's Hefker, there's Meila, no sort of Batashka on that. I saw one safer guard, they point out that the Neid of Yehuda in Tinyana, the Yehuda doesn't really go like this La Halacha, but the Neid of Yehuda's Lashon is, the Ulai Afilu Bedovashal Hefker Shayach. In other words, he's going to Issa Batashka, and he says, Ulai, that it could be that even a davar shel hefker, we find an isra about tashchis, and the Yehuda at any rate was uncertain, and he expresses an iffiness, ulaim, that perhaps it's so. So, in fact, although there are poiskim that do go, the Shulchan Aruch Rav and Hilchas Shmiras Nefesh Baltashchis, Shulchan Aruch Rav says clearly that the isra about tashchis goes on hefker items as well. But even over there, it's surrounded by a parenthesis, which, if you're familiar, is a shayla in itself, what the implication of the parenthesis is. So we see that the poiskim are not entirely certain that there is a iser of batashchis and a dover hefker. The Mishnah tells us in Mishnah Vov that arba lashonchos hoyo beveis hamoiked kigitoinos habsuchas atrakli. In other words, that there's these four smaller chambers at the four corners of the beis hamoiked. The beis hamoiked is a large domed room which has a big fire in the center. Where that's why it's called a beis hamoiked. And you have the four chambers which are at the four corners. One of the four chambers, and that is the Tzvoinis Marovis, that's the northwest chamber of the room, at the corner of the room, Bo Yordan Lebes HaTvila, that there was an area from there which you would descend down into the place where you could be Toivil. If you got Tomei, you go into the Beis HaTvila. So that's the only function of the room that's mentioned over here in Mesechta Midos. The Rosh points out that in Mishnah Mesechta Tomei, the parallel Mishnah, it mentions that that room actually was called the Lishkas Beis HaMoike. It was the chamber of the Beis HaMoike, the chamber of the fire. And so that room had a purpose. There was a fire in that room, a Moike, a Maduru, for there was a fire lit that was constantly going in that room. So the Rosh says that in the Chanami, really the room had a particular function. It wasn't just a mokum from which I would go down to the Beis HaTvila. It had a function. There was a madura, a fire that was kept going in that room. But this Mishnah, its purpose of this Mishnah is to an additional function that it had, in addition to what we already learned about in Mesechta Tomid. So that's why this Mishnah says an additional point that from there they would go down into the Beis HaTvila. Now, from there it's Mavur, and this is how many Mephoshim learn, which is the Pashtus of the Mishnah, that there was actually two different fires that were kept in this, going in this Beis HaMoiked. The Beis HaMoiked structure, the central structure, the central area itself, had a fire, a Madura that was kept going, and was ashamed this central fire in the Beis HaMoiked, that the building as a whole was named, Beis HaMoiked. In addition, however, there was a smaller chamber, a room in the northwest corner, which had a Moiked over there in itself, and that's why that chamber specifically is called the Lishkas Beis HaMoiked. This leads to questions. First of all, what was the function of these fires at all? Who needs a fire b'chlal? And if you do need a fire, what's the function of having two? These are both problems. Taisis, Mesechta Yuma Daf Tezvov, addresses this issue, and Taisis over there brings down that it's a machlokes rishayim. There's Rashi Shita, which is over there, Mesechta Yuma. Rashi learns that the reason there was a fire there is because the kohenim were walking around barefoot. You were not allowed to have a chatzitza, Chazal tell us, between your feet and the azorah. The kohenim were not allowed to wear shoes in the azorah. They're walking around barefoot, and in Meila, therefore, their feet would get cold. And consequently, especially in the wintertime, the feet could get cold. So therefore, there was a moikade two fires, the purpose of being able to warm their feet by the fire. Now, Tosfos does not explain precisely, according to Rashi Shita, what's the purpose of having two fires like that. The Ritva right over there in Yuma elaborates a little bit further on Rashi Shita, and the Ritva says that according to Rashi, you're going to learn that basically the Kohenim were warming their feet in the central base of Moikade. He says, however, there was a chamber, it was a more tzanuah, a modest chamber in a corner, that over there they were mischam hatznuim. Over there, the more modest kohenim who didn't want to do this, engage in this act right in the front of everybody, so that tznuim would warm their feet in the smaller fire that's in the off in the corner in that lishka. So this is all one shita. Taisa brings down that Ben Chanana learned differently from Rashi, and Ben Chanana's shita is that the purpose of these fires is li toil mehem eish l'tzorich mitzvah shemitzvah lohavim and ahedi. In other words, the Chazal tell us that there's a mitzvah to have a fire burning on the base of Mikdash, on the mizbeach of the base of Mikdash, on the mizbeach. And even though the eish was yiridus min hashamayim, the eish would come from heaven, but afa pikein was mitzvah lohavim and ahedi. Because we learn from a pasuk that you have to bring each day a fire from ahedi to light, and a meila. That's the purpose of these fires, is to have a fire from which I'm going to be able to light the torch and to be able to bring an eish, lohavim and ahedit, for the top of the marocha of the mizbeach. What do you have to have two for? So Ben Chananel said, shezu deshnayim hoyu shem yichpeh echod yovim and hasheni. So you had two, just in case, a backup. You always have to have a backup. In case one of them goes out, you'll bring from the other. Frektoises, there was actually, you don't have to have either one of them, because there was actually a marocha l'kiyum ha'esh that was on top of them, one of the fires on top of the mizbeach, the marocha l'kiyum ha'esh, because I learned darshan, eish tomet tuk on the mizbeach, because I learned more darshan from there, then yuma the after marocha l'kiyum ha'esh. There's a fire going for the, there's a mitzvah to keep the fire going on top of the mizbeach. So if that's the case, so why do you have to have any fires in Lishka's base Hamoikid? So Toises says, enachanami, but, despite that, sham or shlost on ha'yusrichos, it could be that I'll need all three, and mechab ha'esh mishnei batei moikid, yikhum in ha'ma arocha asui l'kach. And as Toises says, that just in case both of the fires in the base Hamoikid will go out, I'll take from the fire on top of the mizbeach. The language of this is actually very unclear. There's Sefer Shmuas Chaim, an important Taitik of Sefer Numa, blithe by Akash on Toises, why Toises seems to assume that it's actually more important than Molochat Chiladik, for whatever reason, to take the fire for the ish, for the burning of the Mahomet Ahedit. Toises names on that they're really going to take that Be'ikr from the base Amoikid structure. But if for some reason it goes out, both of the fires in the base Amoikid, then I'm going to take the fire from the top of the Be'ach, which is anyhow on top of the Be'ach. Why, Fekdash Shmuas Chaim? Why don't you say the fire on the Be'ach is right there, immediate proximity to the Marocha Gedoyla, which is what I have to be lighting, I have to add fire to every morning. So if I carry it, it makes much more sense to light Be'ikr Lechatchila from the Marocha, from the Marocha Lekim Ha'esh, from the fire on top of the Be'ach, for the other fire, for the purpose of holding onto a fire, the Marocha Lekim Ha'esh, in case for some reason that's not available to do, so then I'll go with the backup, I'll go with the base Hamoikid. He doesn't have a terrorist to this Kasha, why Tesis was assuming that Lechatchila, I'm not going to take from the Marocha Lekim Ha'esh, from the fire, the Marocha, that's the, so to speak, the Esh Tomit, for the purpose of keeping the fire going, I'm not taking Lechatchila from there, for the Marocha Gedoyla. For some reason Tesis assumed that it's more Lechatchila to have a separate fire, and that was the purpose of the two fires, according to Ben Chananel, and Lushka's Beis Hamoikid. The Taisa says that there is a possible siyua to Ben Chananel's shita from the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara says in the start of Shabbos that the on Shabbos, when it came Shabbos, obviously they only did avoidus in the Beis Hamikdash, that are doicha Shabbos for Steitzach. Many things in the Beis Hamikdash were not done on Shabbos because they didn't override Shabbos. So you had the basic Hakrovas Tmidim and the Musafim of Shabbos, which of course override Shabbos. One of the things the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that Ma'achiz and Ha'ur of Maduras Beis Hamoikid. So the Gemara says that they would light the fire on Shabbos for the fire of the chamber of the Beis Hamoikid, that fire, to keep that fire, to have that fire going. They would light it on Shabbos. My time, it says the Gemara, because it says, you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos where that's in the outlying areas where the Yidden live, in the Moshovis, where the place where the towns and the cities where Yidden live. You're not allowed to light a fire in the areas where the Yidden live, but it's inferred, we implore, take out of there, that the Gemara makes a deal. In other words, Beis Hamoikid is the Mokam Mikdash, it's not Bechom Moshveseichem, it's not the settlements of where the Jewish people live, and therefore it's excluded from being Osir, and consequently, it's mutter to light that fire. The Tosfos says that it's mashma from there that the lighting of the fire in the Beis Hamoikid was a tzorich mizbeach. Because if it's a tzorich of the avoiders, like Tosfos I fashtei, I understand what the heter is to be doicha Shabbos. Like the various avoiders that must be done on Shabbos, so the activities to do them are doicha Shabbos. So you do the shchita of the Talmud, it's the shchita of Musafim, etc. The avoiders are doicha Shabbos if they need it for tzorich avoider. Melochas are doicha Shabbos for tzorich avoider. What's the tzorich avoider? Like Tosfos, the purpose of the avoider in lighting a fire in the Beis Hamoikid. But according to the Rabbeinu Chanan, it works out because according to him, it's for the purpose of having having an ace be brought for the purpose of the Baruch Gedoyle, which is Doicha Shabbos. It's one of the mitzvahs of the Berach that Doicha Shabbos is lighting a fire every day and bring a fire every day to light. And Mela, it works out well that according to that pshat, I understand why they were able to be lit to light the fire in the Beis Hamikdash, because that fire itself was for the purpose of the Mizbeach. Mashing, and according to Rashi, the Rashi says that the fire was according to warm their feet. So what's the head to do on Shabbos? It's very sure. How could the Gemara say that they were able to light a fire in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos? However, Tosis concludes that very remarkably, this is a very remarkable thing, a startling thing. Tosis says that according to Rashi Shita, you're going to have to defend Rashi. What was the head to light the fire even on Shabbos? Zokta Tosis, that you have to Torah Chalom the Pirusha, you have to learn that the head to light the fire is, even though it was not Tzorech Mizbeach, Kivon de Ba'azor, who? Since it's located in the Kedushas Azor, in the courtyard which has the Kedushas Azor, so therefore Loi Karinon Bei B'chol Moish Veseichem. Therefore, we do not call that B'chol Moish Veseichem. In other words, it's excluded from B'chol Moish Veseichem, even though it's Mamish, according to Rashi, is not an avoid the type act. It's not for the purpose of avoid, it's Mamish. It's just the Kohen to warm their feet. The Afal Pikein, I guess it's connected with the avoid activities. The Kohen get cold walking around for the purpose of doing the avoid. It's connected with activities, and that's B'chol Moish Veseichem. That fire has an Azoradic purpose. It's in the Azor with an Azoradic purpose. Even though it's not the purpose of avoid, nonetheless, it's excluded from B'chol Moish Veseichem. It's not the homes, it's places where you live. It's all, even though I'm assuming, obviously, a person can't just light a fire right smack in the middle of the Azorah, just because the Azorah is not going to be heter. But over here, it's an Azorah a purpose. It's not B'chol Moish Veseichem, and it's mutter, even though the sole tafkid was for the Kohenim to warm their feet. A remarkable and chiddush tikka statement of the Tosis to explain the Das Rashi. The Tosis Shonim over there on the side of the page is almost the same as the Tosis, except that he adds one Nakuda, he changes one Zach. He brings down, Bishen, the Rabbeinu Chanan, a slightly different thing, that the purpose of the fire in the Beis Hamoikeid was for the purpose of Kiyam Ho'esh on top of the Be'ach. Thus says that even though, just in case the fire of the Be'ach would ever go out, in case it ever would go out, you have to have a fire constantly lit over there. So if it does go, Eish Tomid, so if it does happen to go out, so then we're going to relight it from the fires in the Beis Hamoikeid, then we have to have two as a backup, and he learns it for the purpose of the Kiyum Ha'esh, just to make sure that the fire doesn't go out. Rather, the Teferis Yisrael over here in the Shnayas, right over here in Midas, makes the same assumption that the purpose is making sure the fire doesn't go out on the Mizbeach and relighting it if it does. The Teferis Yisrael asks, what happened to the din of Ein Soimch, of the Nais? What happened to the Nais? The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that one of the Nisim that happened to the Beis Hamikdash is, Loiki Bug Shomim Eish Shal Atzei Marocha, right? That was one of the miracles that the fire did not go out, the rain did not put out the fire. So it was a miracle, but you have to have they're guaranteed by your nais that it's never going to go out. So what's the purpose of having a fire in the Beis Hamikdash? And for the Teferis Yisrael, Ein Soimchen Al Nais. Chazal told us you don't rely on a nais. So therefore, even though there is a miracle that it's not going to, the fire will not go out, nonetheless, you can't rely on the miracle, and you mechuyev too, have a fire there in the Beis Hamikdash just in case. That's the Teferis Yisrael. Rather interestingly, there's a Kohenim points out that you do find one of the other miracles that are mentioned over there in Pirkei Avos is that the Leira Keri Kodel Godel B'Yom Kippurim. The Kohen Godel did not have an emission; he did not have a Keri on Yom Kippur. That's one of the Nisim. Despite that, even though that's a Nis, that the Kohen Godel never had a Keri on Yom Kippur, the Gemara still tells us, the Mishnayos and the Gemara Masechta Yuma tell us that there were special stringencies and special activities the Kohenim kept away from. They kept away from certain food. They didn't fall asleep, etc. It was all for the purpose of making sure that he did not have a carry emission on the night of Yom Kippur, even though the Mishnah tells us over there in Pirkei Avos that there was a miracle that didn't happen. So the Yerushalmi over there asked the Kasha, and the Yerushalmi says, Lo Sinasun as Hashem, don't test the Bunshom. In other words, the Yerushalmi is answering, you should not rely on the miracle. The Mishnah is giving you the miracle, but you don't rely on it, which is mamish exactly the same mahalach as you have over here, according to this pshat of the Pharisee's room, keeping the fire going in the Beis Hamoikeid, all for the purpose of not relying on the miracle. Granted, the other text in Yerushalmi says, "Kam b'bayis harishin, kam b'sheni." In other words, that the other man, the Omer in Yerushalmi says that those miracles in Pirkei Avos only in Beis Hamikdash harishin, and didn't have those miracles in the bayis hasheni. I just want to point out. I mean, according to that other man, the Omer, you really that's going to be the teretz here too. In other words, there was a miracle in Pirkei Avos that lekivuk shaman the rain water didn't put out the fire on the mizbeach. That's in the bayis harishin, according to one man, the Yerushalmi. Our Mishnah will be discussing the bayis hasheni. That's from the Sechta Midas. Hasheni, so it works well that they had to have a Beis Hamoikeid, a fire, for the purpose of a backup, if the Leish Tomid does go out, because according to that man, the Yerushalmi did not have a miracle
in the Bayis Hasheni.
In Mishnah Ches, the Mishnah goes on, and they actually discuss a thing which we actually did have as well in Masechta Tomid also. It says that in the Beis HaMoiked, on the floor of the Beis HaMoiked, you had Pirchei Kohuna Ish Kistoi Ba'oret. So there's a discussion of sleeping, that the Ziknei Beisav used to sleep on the special stones, jutted ledges on the side of the chamber, and the Pirchei Kohuna Ish Kisusoi Ba'oret, in other words, each person with his lying on his garment, sleeping on the ground. Now the Mishnah Melech has a big arichus on this line of the Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, and he makes a fundamental point which he says appears to be a big machlokes rishonim. The Mishnah Melech clears a remarkable shaila. The shaila is it possible for a kohen or even a levi perhaps to mekayim the mitzvah of shmiras mikdash while he's asleep? Thus he says, is it muchrach that the shmir of the mikdash has to be dafka the person who's awake? Which the Mishnah Melech says, first of all, the svara certainly is nesenis like that. I mean, why shouldn't you have to be awake? That's how you're shemir, you're shemir by being awake. Besides that, he says, aside from the fact that the svara is nesenis like that, he says it actually came out mavur in the Mishnah we spoke of before, in Masechta Tomid and in Masechta Midos, where it says over there that the ish harabayis used to go around and he used to check out if somebody fell asleep, if any ben levi fell asleep. And if the ben levi did fall asleep, so he would hit him and he would burn his tussoi because he slept on the job. So it's very, very clear. There's rayas from svara and from the Mishnah itself seems to be very, very clear. It's impasse mekai in the mitzvah of shemiras mikdash while you're asleep. Ah, lemaisa, the Mishnah says over there, ben levi, koil ben levi loike obegod in the srofin. And we know that there were kohenim who were involved in shemiras mikdash too. So apparently the ish harabayis did not do that to a kohen. Only koil ben levi loike obegod in the srofin. So net, the Mishnah says that it is really not a taina, because Chazal tells us in different places that the kohenim are kruyin levim. The kohenim, in the collective sense, levi could include kohen. And he also brings Gargar, the Toysis Yontif brings down the name of the Chochom Rebbe Avrom Horoife. The Chochom Rebbe Avrom Horoife tainit that Avada, the kohenim will loiko also. Surely he brings up the Bartanura, that the Bartanura says that kohenim and levies were both loike. On that, however, Zok the Mishnah Melech, the Pharisee scroll quotes Rav Avraham HaRoife that's massing on that, it says loy motzinu kohenim loike. This leads us to a question. What does it mean? Is this sheet of Rav Avraham HaRoife, apparently he held the motzinu kohenim loike, that we do not find anywhere that the kohenim should be loike. It's dafka ben levi, kohen ben levi loike. Now, is there any significance to that? Is there some special tzur of the mitzvah of the kohen? The Mishnah Melech taint is that he doesn't hear it at all. He says it doesn't make sense to him. Why should the kohen's mitzvah being shomer with the kohen was shomer? And why should that be any different from the levi's mitzvah be shomer? If the levi can't be asleep, then it seems to be clear to him that the kohen should not be able to sleep as well. However, zok the Mishnah Melech that there is a big problem with this from Loshon Rambam. Because the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBchir Perek Ches, the Rambam brings down in our Mishnah that we just spoke of in the Pirchei Kohuna, he brings in the Mishnah in Oifen that's really Kamat Muchrach, that these Pirchei Kohuna, which were sleeping, they would be Mekai in the midst of Shomrim at the same time while they're sleeping. The Rambam brings down, they did not sleep with the Big Dekona. Okay, so the Kohenim Shomrim, they did not sleep with the Big Dekona. Rather, they would fold them, they would fold them up, they would put them connected their heads. The Loivishim Big Deatzmon, they wear their own Chayil garments, the Yeshayim al Ha'oretz, and they sleep on the ground, the Kohenim, it's like the derech of shoymim of the courtyards of the kings. They don't sleep on beds. The Rambam is really mavur, and a number of achronim make this point. The Rambam is really mavur twice in the same sentence that those kohenim who are sleeping over there were kind of mitzvah shmiras mikdash in their sleep. Because first of all, Rambam starts by saying the kohenim shoymim did not sleep in the big dekona, rather they took off the big dekona and slept in the big dechol. That's the kohenim shoymim who are sleeping. Apparently, they were in shoymim and mekayim while they were sleeping. But at the end of the sentence, the Rambam actually explains it. And he says that they're sleeping in the sleeping on the ground. They don't sleep on beds, they sleep on the ground. It seems for the Rambam there is such a metzias of a shomer who's watching the courtyard of the king. He's watching for hours and hours, very long hours. He feels very tired, so he does sleep. But he does it in a kroidic manner, in a not kavuadic way, not on a bed, but rather he doesn't sleep on a bed, he sleeps on the ground. And that's part of a shmir. Presumably anything happens, he wakes up right away, instantly stirs, and he comes awake. And there was what the kohenim doing when they were being shomers. It's zokt of them. The Mishnah Melech, it appears that the Rambam is chiluk on the Bartanur, right? The Bartanur says the Kohen and the Levi both couldn't sleep. And if they did, they would get a clap. And the Mishnah Melech brings down, there's actually Meduyuk like that in the Mefarish, and Masechta Tomid in a couple of places, that Even a kohen, if he's shomer, he would not be able to sleep. But the shitas harambam zok there is nishtazay. The Rambam held that there is a oifen of shmira, a derech of shmira, which is miskayim by the kohanim, specifically by the kohanim, even while they were sleeping. However, the Mishnah of Blayhuda, not without a mahalach, he says he does not understand how such a thing could be. What's the pshat in derein that the kohanim mamish while he's sleeping that he's going to be able to be miskayim the shmira if the levi in the same exact oifen wouldn't be able to do it? It's very unclear. I didn't see a clear mahalach. I did see in the oitzer yunim that he brings down from achroinim, which I could not find, that the oitzer yunim brings down from achroinim that they want to time that since the levim was shomer on the outside and the kohanim on the inside, so consequently it's the derech of a shomer that the outside shomer has to remain constantly vigilant. He's the one who's checking things from the outside. We've discussed the concept of a shomer already in Masechta Tomid. He's the shomer, the first, the line of defense, so to speak. He has to be mamash vigilant constantly. He can't sleep at all. That's the levi. Now shenkin the kohen who's shomer within, so therefore for the kohanim they can be shomer like the Rambam says, the shomer of the chatzrois malachim of the inner court, the courtyard of the king. They, however, they had this hetter that they'd be able to sleep, and to them their oifen shmira is not contradicted, so to speak, by the fact that they're sleeping. As I mentioned very bekitzer, there's actually a big inyan over here, just in a bit, we had a little bit of time, but I mentioned there are a couple of achroinim that get in over here to a discussion about whether there's a raya from over here, from this Rambam Shitta, that the kohen could be shomer and mekayim the shmira while they're sleeping. Maybe there's a raya that a person could do mitzvah in his sleep, which is a big, big discussion, the achroinim, whether a person while he's sleeping is called a bar das, or like some achroinim tiny that it could be mamash like a shoita, because a person who's sleeping is a shoita and can't have any mitzvahs. So one maramokam, the Abua de Sefri, a Peyashan Sefri, and also the Chalkas Yoy of a Choshev Seifun, the Polish Gedolim, so they both tiny this, the exact same raya, and they both say that in this mission, the kohen is sleeping, he's the shomer, and apparently you have this notion of mamash, they say it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah shmiras mikdash, like we discussed in Masechta Tamid, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, and you're doing it in your sleep. So apparently they and them done, they understood, they take out of here, and they're both mafalpo that they could be from here a raya that a person could do a mitzvah even in his sleep. Others say, not like that, there's Marmakim is against this. Shlomo Zalman Urbach has a whole shit in the Licha Shloime on Sukkah. He got a passing of Mamash Lahalocha that a sleeping person is a din like a shaita, and which is Mamash his shita. It's a big machloikas on this point. Shlomo Zalman wants to say that a person falls asleep outside the Sukkah on Sukkah, there's no shum din to wake him up and bring him in the Sukkah. Because he says he's asleep, he's put them in a mitzvah. When he was going to sleep, he should have gone to sleep in the Sukkah. He's already asleep, so well, you're sleeping potter. And that's what he wants to say, that's his shita, which he elaborates on over there in the Horus, in the Licha Shloime, that the person, while he's asleep, is potter in the mitzvahs, and he goes against those that want to tie in that a sleeping person is a bar das, and is a ben mitzvah, and a siyas a mitzvahs.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Mara Maclemis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.